Let me just welcome you once again. If you missed the welcome at the start, so glad that you're here. Great to see everyone today. It's great to be in God's house. Are we online, Lindsay? Yes. Welcome to those who are joining us online as well. So glad that you're with us. And we're going to open God's word. We're going to read one verse from Scripture today, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. We're going to come to that in a little second. But it's great to be in God's house. Just a reminder that all the groups are back on as normal this week, church life as normal, which means this hall gets turned around and it's busy, busy, busy. All the chairs go away. All the musical instruments get put to the back. There's barriers go up to keep the kids off the platform and away from the tech and stop them from getting hurt. All these things happen every week. There's lots of things happen in the life of the church every week. Do you know, I think it'd be good to do a wee video and show you a time-lapse video of all the things that happen in church during the week. That'd be good, eh? And just so you get an idea. But all the groups are back on. Tea and coffee after the service through here in the wee hall. If you want to stay for tea and coffee, I encourage you to do that. And this week, the Treasure Kids launch is a movie night for it. So it's for both groups. So primary ones all the way through to primary sevens. It's at 6:30. What time's it at? Mums and dads, it's at what time? 6:30. We're going to be watching Finding Nemo in preparation for our Gala Day theme. If you're able to help with any of the Gala Day stuff, that would be most welcome. If you're able to help with teas and coffees, most welcome. Also to remind you that up the back of the church, there is a generosity box if you want to give to the Lord's work in the church here. And also, just one other announcement. I'll send an email around about this, but John's funeral is going to be a week tomorrow in West Lothian Crematorium at 1 o'clock. So just so you're aware, and then back to the church here for tea. And we're praying for you, Bet, and we're supporting you, we're standing by you. I want to say a wee prayer before we go on any further in the service today, before we think a wee bit about what we're going to talk about. And I just want to pray. And if you need prayer today for something, there's lots of things happening in people's lives at the moment. I'm aware of so many situations, so many things that are going on. I'd like us just to be still for a wee moment and to just pause and just allow your prayer to rise up to heaven just for a few moments. And that prayer might just be simply, help. Help. I need help. And it's a great prayer to pray. But let's just be still for a few seconds, and then I'm going to pray and then going to lead on into the rest of our service today. Let's just be still for a moment. Father, we know that you hear the cry of our heart. Sometimes that's just that heartfelt cry for help. And Lord, you know every heart today in this place. You know every situation. You know every need. And Lord, we're asking that you just demonstrate your presence in those areas of need. Father, we pray that you'd come and that you'd meet with us in those places of need. And Father, for those who are needing to endure difficult things at the moment, Father, we pray for strength to endure. Father, we pray that you'd help each one of us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Father, he's the one who started all this, and he's the one who will bring it all to completion. And we thank you for Jesus today. And Father, I do want to pray for our friends in Arizona, Dave and Roxy Beach in Ascend Church. Lord, just had a burden to pray for them this morning in church. And Lord, we just pray that you'd meet their needs. Father, you know their situation. You know what's going on in their lives and in their church. And Father, we just ask that you would be so present in their service today. Father, that you would come and just demonstrate your presence in their service as well. And Lord, for your church across our nation as we gather today, may we be so sensitive to your presence in this place today. Father, may we be sensitive to your presence. And so, Father, as we turn to your word, we pray that you just open up our hearts, open up our eyes that we might understand. And Father, we just ask that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk a wee bit. There's no presentation on the screen, by the way. I've not had time to do stuff like that this week, so you'll just need to look at me. Oh, dear. Don't be so enthusiastic, Anne. So back at the start of the year, I said that this year we need to go deeper in the Word, depend more on the Holy Spirit, and develop our prayer life. And I think we've been trying to focus on those things over the last number of weeks. But in order to depend more on the Holy Spirit, which is one of the things that I talked about, we need to understand more the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there'll be people in here today, and what I'm going to say will not be new to you. There's no great revelation moment in that sense, but we need to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is always present, everywhere, all the time, and it's the Holy Spirit who creates life within us. So I just hope that we can glean something from today about part of the character of God. You know, every Easter we remember Jesus. We remember the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. I wonder how often at this time of year we remember what happened next. Have you ever done those little video things where it's what happened next? We used to do this in Compass quite often. You'd show a clip and you'd pause it, and then you say what happened next, and you've got to guess. And it's usually football clips where the goalie does something weird, or somebody punches the referee or something like that. So after the resurrection, which we thought about last week, we think, well, what happened next? And it's what happened next that I want to focus a wee bit on over the next number of weeks. And what happened next was that the promised Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, to the early church, and it transformed a ragtag bunch of guys, men and women, who were gathered together, and it transformed their lives so that they became an explosive force in this world that we live in. It's hard to believe that there are millions. It's probably estimated that there are about 2 billion or so, over 2 billion people who would say that they have a faith in Jesus Christ, whatever that looks like, okay? Over 2 billion people. That was started by one man who only served in ministry for 3 years, and then he was crucified, resurrected, and ascended to heaven, and empowered a bunch of people with the Holy Spirit to make this thing happen. And he started a thing called the church. And it's just incredible that we're here today, 2,000 years later, because of what happened then, because the Holy Spirit came and moved. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, which is our key verse for today, it says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." It's incredible. Do you think that's incredible? I think that's incredible. The same Spirit, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, if we invite him in, lives in us and is able to create life in us. I wonder if we remember what happened next. Jesus appeared to many of his disciples over the course of the next 40 days. Then he ascended into heaven. And this year, the 18th of May, Thursday the 18th of May, marks Ascension Day. Did you know that? The day where the church traditionally remembers that Jesus was ascended back into God's presence. And then there followed a period of waiting where the disciples gathered together and waited on what Jesus had promised. And then it tells us Dr. Luke, who writes Luke and Acts, they're actually, you know, two letters that go together, written by one person. He says, "And when the day of Pentecost came," and that's further down the road, 50 days after the Passover where Jesus was crucified, was the day of Pentecost, and it was the day when the Spirit was poured out on those believers. Today, we celebrate Pentecost on the 28th of May. It's a wee bit away yet, about 6 weeks away now. But on the 28th of May, that is Pentecost Sunday. And I just kind of thought, I want us to focus on the person and work of the Holy Spirit for a while over the next few weeks. However that looks, I don't know, but we're going to do that. I've not spoken this type of stuff in this kind of way for a long time. It was 2016 as we actually came up to Christmas. And I don't know if you remember Christmas 2016. Who remembers that? So I'm kidding. I'm joking. I don't expect you to. Christmas 2016, we talked about how the Holy Spirit was involved in the Christmas story. It's incredible. And I want to think a wee bit about the Holy Spirit today. So 2016, I think that's been a few years now, about 6 years, so I think I'm allowed to talk about the Holy Spirit again. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? I need some convincing, okay? Right? I've had a really late night last night, so I need your encouragement. I need smiling faces. I need people to say amen, okay? So please feel free to speak out and encourage me, and I'll try as best I can to encourage you. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved all the way throughout the Bible. It's not just the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is involved all the way throughout. And the Old Testament word that's is translated spirit is the word ruach. Can you say the word ruach? Give it a go. It's a good Scottish word, actually. It's actually a Hebrew word, ruach. But when we're Scottish, we can say that really well. And the word ruach means wind or breath, and it's that invisible power of God, specifically the presence of God. And the New Testament word is similar. It's the word pneuma. Can you say the word pneuma? Pneuma. It's a Greek word, and it means the same thing, breath or wind, and it's translated in some cases spirit. And these words can be used to describe the invisible wind or breath that we feel. And if you think about it, as we speak, and you'll know this if you're out on a cold day, as we speak, what do you see? You see your breath coming out. You see the vapor coming out. And as you speak, something of that breath comes out, and you just hope that when you're talking to somebody, you haven't had garlic for your tea. Right? Because you might not be able to see your breath, but when you've had garlic for your tea, you can certainly smell it. And these words are used in a specific way to describe God's personal presence. To use the Bible Project guy's definition, God's personal presence. Now, let me read a couple of verses from the Bible to illustrate. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, in the beginning, the first thing to happen, God, and the word that's used is Elohim, which is the plural of El. And right away, as the Bible uses the word Elohim, it's talking about the plurality of God. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. We sang about it this morning, and I didn't ask Sarah to pick that song. There you go. It's all tying in again. How does this happen? Is there a God who inspires us and causes us to think the same things? It's amazing, isn't it? And God created, and the word created is an original creative act. And it's in the perfect tense, which means that when it says that God created, it means that it was completed. So God created what? The heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless. You've got to try and get a picture of the earth formless. God had created the earth. And it says that darkness was over the surface of the deep, that it was empty other than that, that there was this mass just with the Holy Spirit fluttering over it. If you read in another place where it uses that word, where it talks about the Spirit hovering, the idea is that is of an eagle fluttering over the nest, over the chicks. Have you ever seen that on these nature programs where the mother eagle comes in? She's just kind of fluttering and hovering there. She's waiting to come and feed her chicks. Well, that's the kind of idea that we get here of the Holy Spirit just kind of hovering over this chaos, over nothingness, over emptiness. And it says that the Holy Spirit was there right at the very start, over the waters. If you can imagine this kind of creative act, it's like a potter. As the potter stands over the wheel or sits over the wheel, and the lump of clay goes on the wheel. Have you ever seen this happen? Right? Who's ever seen The Good Life? That program from the 70s. Do you remember the one where Margot got a potter's wheel, and they're trying to watch her do this thing with the clay, and she just can't get it, and she just gets upset. And if you've not seen it, watch it. It's hilarious. But here is the master craftsman, the Holy Spirit, along with God the Father, God the Son, the Word of God, and they begin to create. The Holy Spirit is involved right at the very start of creation. And it says that, and God said, in verse 3, and God said, there's that expression of mind, of will, of intellect. When we speak, it's an expression of our mind, of our intellect, and our will, isn't it? Yeah. So when we speak, we think something, and we speak as a result of what we think. And usually it's something sensible that comes out. But Not all the time. And then we fast forward all the way to the New Testament, to the book of John, and there's another verse in here which describes how God the Son was involved in this creative work, along with the Holy Spirit and along with the Father, and it says that in the beginning was the Word. It's a capital It's a capital W, okay? The Greek word is logos, and this is how I imagine it. Imagine the most intelligent computer programmer you've ever came across. Does anybody know computer programming in here? I think there are some people who are just too shy to say, right? Yes, there are people who know how to program computers in here. A long, long time ago, I used to be able to program in assembly language in Pascal, but I've forgotten all that now. But imagine the most intelligent, gifted, creative computer programmer you've ever met, and times that by a million, okay? And try and imagine somebody who can create the code for all of creation, everything that is needed for this whole thing to work, the cosmos and everything that's in it, the way that the planets move, the way that the universe moves, the way the earth goes around the sun, and the way that the stars rise and fall in the evening. All the code for that, the way the seas work, the way the animals work, the way the weather works, everything, all the code, and the code for human beings, we know that we have a code written into us. It's called our DNA. Imagine this computer programmer being able to write all this magnificent code and create something that's absolutely beautiful. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the living Word, and it's talking about Jesus. That's who John's referring to. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's saying that not only was Jesus with God, he actually was God in essence. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, who John's describing as the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three are working together in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, through that Logos, all things were made. Everything that we see and touch and feel was made by him. This perfect creation. To continue with the analogy, the problem was there was a virus introduced to the system. You know what I'm going to say? The virus was sin. God said you can have free reign throughout the garden, you can eat of all these trees, and you can have this incredible life, and I want you to look after the plants and look after the trees and look after the animals and look after the planet. We've not done a very good job of that over the years, have we? But God said, I want you to look after it, or I want you to be a steward of it. But this virus was entered into the system, and the programming which God had planned began to be corrupted. And this is what I want to say. The devil wants to corrupt every file. The devil wants to destroy the operating system. He wants to bring chaos. He wants to bring death. He wants to bring destruction. And why did this start? Because he said to the people at the time, you will be like God. You will be like God. And as I look at the world that we live in today, I see people who are so full of themselves, and that's what they say. I want to be like God. I want to take the place of God. Myself is more important than God. God is pushed out the equation. And coming back to this word, ruach, breath, wind, God was hovering, fluttering over the waters, over a formless, empty earth. And there was that very expression of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God moving out and creating. Some people refer to the Holy Spirit, this life-giving, creative Holy Spirit, with words like life, force, or energy. And it's not wrong to use those types of words. However, the problem sometimes with those types of words is that they can be misunderstood. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I don't often focus on what the Holy Spirit is not, but today I'm going to focus just for a few seconds on what the Holy Spirit is not, okay? And there are ideas which are prevalent in our popular media, movies, and all sorts of things in popular culture today that sound a little bit like the Holy Spirit, but it's not, okay? Let me give you an example. Who's ever watched Star Wars? These are not the droids you're looking for. Yeah? How good would it be to be able to do what they do in Star Wars, eh? It only works in the weak-minded, apparently. And the whole idea of this force in Star Wars is not something like the Holy Spirit. It's something totally different from what we believe as Christians. The word that we use to describe that is pantheism. Pantheism. And some ideas about God are kind of, they sound like the right thing, but they're not actually who the Holy Spirit is. Some these things, so let me come back to something in my notes. I forgot to charge my iPad last night, so I'm back to paper. So particularly the idea of God the Spirit, it can sound quite appealing in different religions and different ways of thinking. And it leads some people to think that all religions are in essence the same, but they're not. There's another view of God, this pantheistic view, which is so near and yet so far away from who we believe God to be. Pantheism is the worship of kind of sort of God in everything. So God in all of nature and all of creation. And it's a doctrine which identifies God with the universe or regards the universe as a manifestation of God. So if you imagine what pantheism is, it's like God is in everything. God is in the planet and the trees and the water and everything's kind of connected. And the whole idea with Star Wars is that you can harness that force, that energy, and use it to your advantage, okay? Well, let me just say that you don't harness the Holy Spirit's energy for your own purposes and your own advantage, okay? It's God who works in us and through us to accomplish his good purposes, okay? God's not somebody that we use. The Holy Spirit is not a force that we use for our own good, okay? Another movie which has just come out, you may have seen it. I've not seen it yet. I've seen the original many years ago, is the movie Avatar. Has anybody seen the movie Avatar, okay? And I actually read this about the movie Avatar, and I will go and watch it at some point in time. And this person was saying, it was in a news article, like mystics here on Earth, and that struck me right away, here's somebody who's saying that there are people on Earth just now called mystics who are like the people in the movie Avatar. The Na'vi have an experience of unity of consciousness with all beings, all of which, themselves included, are really just manifestations of one being, which they call Aiwa. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I've not seen the movie for a while. That everything's linked and everything's interconnected and it's all God in everything. And it sounds kind of almost like what we're talking about when we think about the Holy Spirit, but it's not. It's different. This whole thing about consciousness with other beings is something that comes out in the Star Wars movie as well. You know, you see them having these wee kind of telepathic moments with people where they're connected with people on the other side of the galaxy, and there's like, oh, there's a disturbance in the force. It's like, do you know, it sounds quite appealing, but it's different because God is distinct from his creation. God exists outside of the creation. He created it, and he exists outside of the creation. But at the same time, if we invite the Holy Spirit in, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. So although God is outside the creation, he actually lives in us, and so he's part of us. And we know that we celebrate this at Christmas time. We think about Jesus coming into the world. God actually entered into creation as a human being, and it's incredible. The problem we have, and it's a problem as old as time, is that we want to worship the creation rather than worship the Creator, don't we? People want to worship what they can see, what they can feel, what they can touch. And that's been the way for many years. People have worshipped for years things like the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and the water and the fire and the earth and all these things. And they've made up gods and created their own idea of who God is. It says in the Bible that God made us in his image. We'll come to that in a second. But we try to make God in our image, and that can be a problem. There's another school of thought that I want to draw attention to for a few moments. It's called animism. Another view that prevails, and it seems to fit neatly into popular culture today. And according to those who hold this worldview, animism is an ancient worldview at the root of spirituality and religion that views humans as part of an interconnected web of life that unites the seen and unseen worlds. The word animism derives from the Latin root anima, which means, listen to this, breath, spirit of life. And this is what we need to understand. These ideas that are in our world today, they sound right, but if it's not 100% true, it's not true. Okay, there's a degree of truth in things, and I think that's because we all descend from one people. And so these ideas have found their way down through society in many different ways in different cultures. And I thought that was really interesting that the root idea behind animism is breath or spirit and life. So you can see where confusion can creep in. That breath and life is something that God gives to us. It's something that God endowed us with at creation. And so we read in the Genesis account that the Spirit of God was, where was he? He was hovering where? Over the waters. He wasn't in the waters. He was hovering over the waters, ready to create something. And so the Holy Spirit is different from these other worldviews and the way we think about God. But there is a miracle, and that's that God chose to exist inside creation in the person of Jesus Christ. I know we're talking about the Holy Spirit today, but the way that Jesus lived and worked and operated, he was fully dependent on the Holy Spirit as well. We know that Jesus was created by the Spirit, don't we? We teach that in the church at Christmas time. There's a lady called Mary, a young girl, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was eventually the one who would give birth to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's at work in Jesus. The Holy Spirit came at Jesus' baptism, descended upon him, and people heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Holy Spirit was involved in raising Jesus from the dead. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is at work in the person of Jesus, who came into creation, who became one of us, and he died on a cross for us. He came to deal with a virus. Who better to come and deal with the virus than the Logos, the living word, the creative one who came to deal with the virus of sin? And he did that by dying on a cross. And so I hope you're seeing today that the Christian worldview is very different, but you can see where the confusion can creep in. What was the first command given to God's people as they came out of Egypt? Can you remember? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." And people have been doing this through time, putting other things in front of God and making other things God. And we do it as well. We can so easily put other things in the place of God. Where we should be turning to God, we look to our own strength. We look to this, that, and the next thing. "You shall have no other gods before me." We don't worship the sun, we don't worship the moon, we don't worship the stars, the planets, the earth, the trees, although I like trees. I don't hug them, I do like them, and I certainly don't worship them. And so we see that God's creative work, the Holy Spirit is there in us and in the creation, creating all these things, but we are distinct. Human beings are distinct from the rest of creation. And why? Why are we distinct? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." This is an interesting passage. We are created as human beings. We are created in the image of God, and we are distinct from all the rest of creation. God's Spirit lives within us. And when God created people, It says that what he had created was perfect, and that there was this moving between God and earth. God would come and walk in the garden, and there was that fellowship with God which was broken because of sin, because of the virus that we talked about. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this: "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Humans are unique in all of God's creation. We're made in the image of God. And I think we're given creative power, just like God had creative power. We're made in his image. And so the Holy Spirit is involved in all of this. And the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force permeating all of nature, or for that matter, the cosmos, but the very essence of a deeply personal God, the personal presence of God. And we use images like the wind and invisible forces to try and describe something that is indescribable. And God's desire is to create still, through the Spirit, new life in us. I don't know about you. I sometimes feel like I want new life to be created in me. The Holy Spirit created life in the beginning. The Holy Spirit created life in the womb of a teenage girl called Mary. When along came Jesus, the Holy Spirit worked in and through Jesus, our Messiah, to create new life in many. The Holy Spirit brought the body of Jesus back to life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I'm going to read it again. "And if the Spirit of him," the Holy Spirit, it's a capital S in your Bible, "the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." I want us to try and take that away today, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that works in us, who can create new life in us, who can open us up to have fellowship with God. It's not some kind of weirdy thing. We just give ourselves to God and we say, okay, here I am. I've been corrupted by the virus. I want you to come in and sort out the programming in my life. Sort out the bad code that's in my life. Come and just rewrite your code into me. Make me clean, make me whole, forgive me of my sin, all that kind of stuff, and come in and just work in me. And the Holy Spirit is at work all the way through the whole story. And even today, the Holy Spirit is still working in us to bring about God's purposes for this earth. Let's just pray as we finish off today, as we finish our time together. And I just want to make an invitation. If you've never asked Jesus, if you've never asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life, then today's an opportunity to do that. The God that we're talking about, the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, who created everything, can come and live in you and begin to create new life in you, to create new things in you, things you would never have dreamed of. And the Holy Spirit can do those things within you. But you just need to invite the Holy Spirit in. You need to invite God into your heart. And so I'm going to say a little prayer. And you can pray this prayer into yourself. Let somebody know that you've prayed it. Come and tell me, tell somebody else, tell a friend. But tell somebody that you've prayed it. So just, if you're in that place, whether you're online or here in the room, pray this little prayer after me into your heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who can come and live in me. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into my life, to create new life within me. I ask that you'd clean me up, fix me up, and get me working the way that I should be. I give my life to you today, in Jesus' name. And if you've prayed that prayer, let somebody know. Come and let me know that you've prayed it. And Father, we just ask that you would just empower us, that you'd go with us, Lord. So many of us need that life-giving power of the Spirit to be in operation in our lives today. Lord, we ask that you would help us to tune into the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we talked about that right at the start, to depend more on the Holy Spirit. And Lord, to depend more on the Holy Spirit, sometimes we need to just understand how to do that. A And Lord, over the next few weeks, we pray that you'd show us just how the Holy Spirit can work in us and through us. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you today. We commit every family that's part of this church, everyone who's visiting. Father, we just commit each one to you. We pray that you would strengthen each one of us. Father, that you'd lead us into all that this week has for us. Lord, we don't know what a week brings. Father, we were just singing that in the song just a few minutes ago. We can't go back to the beginning. We can't control what tomorrow might bring. But Father, we know that right here in the middle is a place where you've called us to be, and we know that you're with us, and then we know that you walk with us. Father, even in the darkest valley, Father, you walk with us, and we know your presence there. In every season of life, we know your hand to be with us. And so, Father, lead us and guide us. Comfort those who mourn. Father, heal the sick. And Father, we pray, manifest your presence in each of our lives. And Father, we pray for those who go out into the workplace this week. Lord, we pray that you enable each one to be an ambassador for you. We pray that you give them creativity and skill in their job. Lord, we ask that you would just enable them, Father, to just be the best that they can be in their particular field of work. And Father, that you would just by your Spirit bring creative thoughts into their minds. And Father, that you'd empower each one to be the best in their particular field that they can be. And Father, we just pray for each one of us, Lord, that you just enable us, whatever our life holds, wherever we're at, Lord, we pray, enable us, breathe your life into us, and Father, just enable us to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. In Jesus' name we ask. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face to shine upon you. And may he just prosper the work of your hands this week. In Jesus' name.